Hello, faith-filled entrepreneurs. If you are looking to align your life and business biblically, grow your business in wisdom, and walk boldly in faith, you have come to the right place because we have the same goals and we can walk this journey together. My name is Jen Kleiber, founder of The Faith-Filled Entrepreneur, The Responsive Classroom, and Kleiber Investments. My goal is to walk boldly forward in faith towards a Holy Spirit-led vision in biblical wisdom, and I'd love for you to come along with me. We need faith leading business more than ever. Okay, so welcome back. So on episode 109, we looked at the parable of the talents in part one of this mini series on being faithful with a little. Being faithful with a little is the second step in the Prepared for Breakthrough mini course that you can now grab as a solo course, as a standalone course for a limited time. Or you can find it in the Equip Digital Course Library. But today we are going to dive into the second example of this from Jesus himself when he calls Peter to be a disciple. In today's episode, we're going to break this down into three parts: the story of Peter, what we are being asked to do, and why we would ever want to have this added to our plates, right? So let's pray before we dive in. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for each person who is listening to this right now. Lord, nothing is by coincidence. And so I just pray that you would use your word to speak to their hearts, speak to their mind, and move them forward in faith, Lord, because we know that that is where you're working, that that is where your Holy Spirit is, that that is where we find our purpose and where we receive your blessing. So, Lord, I just pray for favor and blessing over each person listening today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to start this by just reading this story out of the Bible, okay? So I'm going to read the version out of Luke 5, so bear with me. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing." "But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in from the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the son of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. So let's unpack this story a bit. First, it was not logical for Peter to put his nets back in the water. He'd been working all night. You typically catch the type of fish that they were trying to catch through the night. He had already started the cleaning process of the nets, which, as you can imagine, I'm sure was a very extensive process. And from the logic of a fisherman, if you have been fishing in the same spot and haven't caught fish, more than likely that spot doesn't have fish, right? So this was not a normal request. Second, Peter was already feeling defeated. You can tell by his response, right? Where he says, "Master, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing," right? That is a tired person who is probably concerned about his business, who probably feels like, "I was a failure, it didn't work." And so he's already feeling defeated. Third, the outcome Peter was hoping for was more fish, but the outcome Jesus was looking for was calling the disciple who would eventually be the cornerstone of the church, right? He would eventually be the rock that Christ builds his church on. So Jesus had a much bigger purpose for Peter than being a fisherman. Now I have to think, right? What if Peter would have been like, "Wow, thanks for all the fish. And then that was it. What if Peter hadn't recognized, oh Lord, please leave me, I'm too much of a sinner to be around you, hadn't recognized Jesus as Lord? Would Jesus still have called him to the next place, right? Because here's my thing. I think that sometimes we as faith-filled entrepreneurs can get so focused on the amount of fish that then when the Lord blesses us with the fish, right? When he gives us a successful launch or he brings opportunity to us, it's easy to think that that was the end goal. And then we get focused on that being the end goal instead of shifting our focus back to the Lord and saying, oh, Lord, this was you, right? I am not worthy of this, but this came from you. What do you want me to do with it, right? I also wonder what would have happened if Peter would have been like, nah, I'm good. I'll just come back out tomorrow. I've already cleaned my nets. Sometimes nights like this happen. No big deal, right? I wonder if Jesus would have moved on to someone else who was willing and ready to obey him. I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that to those who are faithful in a little, much more will be given. Okay, so let's talk about what it looks like to be obedient. There are several universal commands that are all throughout the Bible, right? And there are also specific commands. And thankfully, we have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to give us discernment on these. So let's talk first about these universal commands. Now, we know that we are not under the Jewish law as they were in the Old Testament. However, so many of the laws show up as acts of love and service in the New Testament, right? So it's not that we completely dismiss the law. So no, loving your neighbor doesn't bring you salvation, but it is definitely an act of faithfulness and it's a step of obedience. So let's look at a few of these universal steps of obedience. Number one, be generous. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, yes, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. 1 Timothy 6:18 says, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and being generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. So we are commanded to be generous, right? Number two, take care of widows and orphans or people who can't take care of themselves. In 1 Timothy, he says, take care of any widow who has no one else to care for her. James 1:27, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Okay, number three, I already said it, love your neighbor. Jesus talks about loving your neighbor quite a few times, but in Matthew 22:37, it says, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Verse 39, a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So this is a really important command, right? Love your neighbor, not optional. Number four, avoid temptation. 2 Timothy 2:22, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. 1 Corinthians, he says, run from sexual sin. God's will for you is to be holy. So again, a general command is that we don't put ourselves in places where we are going to be tempted to sin. We're all tempted to sin, and God will always provide a way out, but we need to run from it. Number five, give back to God. Now, tithing is in the Old Testament, and it's very clearly laid out in the Old Testament, but giving to the church is mentioned again and again in the New Testament. Mark 12 is the story of the poor widow who gives all she has to the church, and Jesus tells his disciples, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. And here's just a few more. Give thanks, trust in the Lord, don't fear. These are universal commands that we will be tested with. And when we respond biblically and as a child of God, we are showing that the Lord that we can be trusted with more, right? So, self-reflection time for me too. Are you giving? Are you generous? Are you taking care of people? Maybe volunteering your time or giving your money? Are you loving your neighbor? Are you patient? Are you kind? Are you jealous? Right? Are you trusting in the Lord? Are you living in fear? Or are you laying that down at the cross? Are you being thankful? Do you have a thankful heart? So when we can self-reflect on these general commands and we can align ourselves and make sure that we're being obedient in these things, then we know that when we are faithful with a little, God is going to give us more. Okay, now let's talk about specific commands that come directly from God to you. So this would be like Jesus asking Peter to cast out his nets again. That's a very specific request to Peter. What is God asking you to do right now? What or who has been burdening your heart? Where have you felt called to serve? What do you need to do for your family? What step do you need to take in your business? If the answers seem a little muddy right now, I encourage you to hop back over to episode 107 and learn more about fasting and praying to know God's direction, because this is going to be a very tangible step to opening up your mind, opening up your heart, making space for the Holy Spirit to give you very clear guidance on this. He's not hiding from you, okay? All right, so to move to the third part of this episode, why in the world would we want more responsibility, right? Maybe if you're thinking, man, if I were Peter, maybe being a fisherman sounded pretty good, right? Comfortable life, knew what he was doing, had Jesus to help him out a little bit. Like, why would he want to have the responsibility of being the rock that the church is built on? Well, that's a great question. Because sometimes it does feel better to fly right under that radar, right? But let me give you a few reasons. Number one, you were created for a purpose. Therefore, if you are not operating fully in that purpose, although you may be comfortable at times, you will not have a peacefulness in your soul, because God will continue to pursue you. If he's got more for you, he wants to give that to you. And so he will continue to pursue you in that. Number two, you were given spiritual gifts to have an impact on the kingdom. You have the ability to help, guide, and show the love of Jesus to someone. You can bring the hope of Christ through your giving, your love, or your availability. You have no idea the impact you can have on this world when you are open to Christ using you in a powerful way. So if you're sitting there and you're thinking, I don't have anything to give, I don't feel like I'm good at anything, talking to people makes me uncomfortable, I don't feel like I have a gift, that is a lie from the enemy. Because friend, you do. When you accepted Christ, when you acknowledge that he was your Lord and Savior, you were given the Holy Spirit. And along with the Holy Spirit, you were given spiritual gifts. That's truth, right? And those spiritual gifts were given specifically to you to impact people for the kingdom. There's no greater gift than, there's no greater privilege than being able to do that. Okay, number three, we have the amazing privilege of receiving our inheritance through Christ, through nothing we can do on our own except believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior. That right there is amazing and should spur us on to want to operate in his love, to want to be obedient. But keep this in mind. God gives good gifts to his children because of his unconditional love. However, we know that obedience pleases God. We also know that Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. That's in John 14, 15. We know in Hebrews 11, 6, it says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Friend, it is your choice, right? It is your choice as to whether or not you want to fly under the radar and stay comfortable in your life, or if you want to step into that purpose and have the impact that God has specifically ordained for you. But I'm going to tell you this. I feel very strongly that revival is coming and that the revival fire will be heavily flamed by business. Where we put our money and our influence matters. Who we help, how we serve, what we say, it all matters to the kingdom, and it matters as to how God will use us for bigger things. And let's not forget, the servants who were obedient and faithful in a little were rewarded. God wants to reward us. He wants to give us good gifts. He is a God of abundance and provision, but that is the byproduct of obedience. That's not what we're keeping our eyes on. That's not the end goal. We just receive with thankfulness and turn around and walk in faithfulness as God increases our territory. Let me pray for us again. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that you are working. You are in and among us. You've gone before us. You stand behind us, Lord, and you are calling us out to bigger things that only you can do. And so I pray again for every person who is listening to this right now, that you would stir in their heart, that you would draw them close to you, that you would give them that Holy Spirit-filled vision of their next step, who you're putting in their path, the opportunities that you are giving them, Lord. And I pray that we would have the strength and the courage to take that step forward in faith to show you that we are faithful with a little and that we are available to be used for more. Lord, I pray blessings and favor over each business that is represented by the people who are listening to this podcast. And then I pray that we would take that blessing and that we would steward it for your kingdom, that we would put it back out in the world for you, that we would grow our gifts, that we would grow in our skill so that we are unstoppable because of what you are doing through us. Lord, I just thank you for the privilege of serving you. I thank you for the privilege of being used by you. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who guides us each step of the way. Father, let us not be still. Let us not be quiet. Let us not miss out on the opportunity to step fully into that purpose that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, friend, I just want to remind you that prayer is the avenue to communication with God. I know you know that, but I also wanted to remind you that we still have our free 31 days of powerful prayers that you can grab. These are game-changing prayers, and you can grab it free in the show notes or on the website at thefaithfulledentrepreneur.com. Also, if you want the Prepared for Breakthrough course, again, having faith with a little is step two, being prepared for breakthrough. You can find that in the Equip Digital Library, or again, you can purchase it as a standalone course right now, and you can find those links in the show note or on the website as well. So please share this podcast, download it, and subscribe it. And if you have found value, it would be a huge help to me if you left a positive review, as it just gets the podcast in front of more people. And we know that we need faith leading business more than ever right now. Blessings, friend.